All right, I'm gonna start it off. Once again, welcome everybody. Cheese and Broccoli's Morning Coffee segment. Today I have a wonderful guest who will be able to send you some light, some tips, and give you some drive to get yourself going in your online business or whatever you're trying to do, even if it's not online. You know what I'm saying? So let me do so. I got Courtney Thomas on the line. Courtney Thomas, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do.
How you doing, Marcus? DJ Fat Potato, aka the man, Cheese and Broccoli Entertainment. I really do appreciate it, man. And just a little bit about myself. I'm a founder of CourtDMS.com. Basically, it's Court Digital Marketing Swag. And what we do at CourtDMS, we brand you. So any type of digital branding that you need, we are there for you. We want to be your number one fan on a digital platform. So it goes from videography, photography, graphic designs. We got artificial intelligence websites and apps. So anything that you have to bring to the table that we could represent you on a digital platform, we want to be there for you.
Okay. That's right there. That's a good drive, good avenue right there. So I do see that I think one of the questions that people have a hard time understanding or may not quite figure out how it works is, how do you work with like competition and stuff? People don't realize that big corporations, they work with each other. It's not always like a solo project. It's always a partnership or work with individuals. So how would you work with somebody who offers almost the same kind of work that you do?
Okay, so how would I work with my competitors?
Yeah, you know, something like on a bigger project or bigger scale, it'll help both of you guys. You know, people think it's a solo event or ventures, and a lot of times it's not.
Well, it's all about, you know, networking. So, I mean, you only could, you know, go so far, and then you have to reach out. You know, you only one person, and also you have one entity. So, I mean, if you need additional help, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of work out there that some other people are more expert than you are in. So don't be afraid to reach out to other to the competitor and ask for help, you know, or ask for their services, just so you could move one step farther with your initial with your company. So it's okay to ask for help. We all growing in this business, so sometimes you gotta, you know, reach out and ask for assistance if you don't know the next step. So it's okay.
Okay, that's knowledgeable. You know, I've in my dabbers and journeys and different stuff, I've worked with different entertainment companies, and we have done joint ventures on visual projects. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, get kind of discouraged because it's like there's you know, that's my competition, that's my rival situation B. And then at the day, there's enough people out there to be served. Not everybody's being served, you know. So there's never going to reach a time point where it's, you'll never have somebody to serve, even with your competition or working with them, you know.
Yeah,
I think people don't realize that you actually will go further in a long way because you guys will learn off each other to go step back into your guys's pool or going to a bigger pool than you first started by doing a joint venture with you guys offering the same product line, you know?
Yes. Like I said, I mean, we all unique in our some form or fashion. We're very unique. So I try to encourage us to come together and bring those special abilities, those superpowers, and let's display that on a digital platform. So whatever we have to do, I mean I only could go so far before I have to ask for assistance, but we pretty much cover a lot of things. So if there's anything I'm missing, I'd be the first one to ask for help, you know. So what we need to do is not only ask for help, but just, you know, just offer our abilities to the next man so they could build their business. So it's not really a competitive thing. It's more like a collaboration, a network, you know. So we're building this network of entrepreneurs, people that want to grind, people want freedom, and people tired of working for someone and actually have something they could call their own. And that's basically what our mindset need to be, and that's building each other up.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm going to switch the line a little bit. So go ahead and point out some strong attributes that your company can offer with somebody who is just right now just sitting on, I have an IG page. I have a Twitter account, and they just basically stick with social media, and they now have went to the next level of easy access or more eyes on as using the internet as with a website or whatever. Can you kind of give us an enlightenment of our tools that you guys use that kind of make you stand out from the rest?
Yeah, basically we use all types of tools. Basically we have a search engine optimization that's very important. I mean, and it's definitely something that you have to work with on a daily basis. You know, it's something that basically find those keywords that that populate on Google as Google see them as a key search engine verbiage. So, and it's basically like an AI system within Google, and it populates the keywords the keywords that's very popular. So, and that's something you could play with just on a weekly basis, just see if you jump even one spot, just, you know, changing your search engine optimization words up, you know. So once you start switching those words up and you start seeing you move up the page, you first was on the 30th page, now you're on the 25th page, and then maybe you're on the third page and you move to the second page. You always got to keep updating your keywords, because the keywords are constantly changing. I know we usually think that, okay, we put certain words in, this is how you'll find me, but that's not really what it takes. It really takes a daily effort to see what's working and what's not working.
Oh, okay, so it's almost what they call it. I'm trying to say it right. If I say it wrong, don't beat me up, guys. Isn't it called an algorithm?
Just taking initiative, finding out what works, how you find this page and it's not your page. What are they using? What are their keywords? And you adapt into that. So it just, you maybe start switching your keywords to probably something similar to their keywords that populated their page, because we are looking ourselves, so we could see what populated and it's not us. And that's where you go into your search engine and to your keywords, and you just go ahead and basically you adapt to what's working and what's not, you know.
Okay, that's very enlightening, you know. So everybody's paying attention to the jewels that this man is dropping for you guys this morning. There's a lot going on. I don't know if a lot of people keep up with the business or, you know, check the money or the stock market. There's a lot of new companies in sale, and especially for a lot of people who do online businesses, and you work with a lot of, say your back shops are in Asia market, you know, they're on the deal signing with China for the trade line. So that's going to be able to open back up the floodgates for a lot of merchants to come through without being taxed $1 trillion at a time. I don't know if you was aware of that or not, or you see that story post on the news lately.
Go ahead and enlighten me on that.
Okay, what happened was Trump, Trump was renegotiating the trade laws. You know, he was real push for, he wanted more American businesses to do work within America than sourcing out to the Asia market. In other words, not a bar tie, but it was just a negotiation of the cost it would cost a country to work with America, in layman's term. Okay, So, you know, China and the United States had the biggest rift, and they really did not redo the deal that was supposed to come up and do by next year. So what happened was, read the article just the other day, in China, you know, they was able to work out some terms, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's kind of funny because with this impeachment coming around, Trump knows that, you know, his office reign may not be as long as he thought it would be, or he thought he'd be in for another term, but it doesn't look like that's going to really sit right now. So he's going to go ahead and, I guess, work it out with China to get these, because he would benefit once he step out that seat, because then he can go back and business himself, you know? So that, you know, China came with agreements, and so that's supposed to get signed. So with that signed, that means that opened back up the floodgates for a lot of people to work with China, who get tax breaks, and they wouldn't be hit with these stipends each, not stipends, but hit with these high taxes for doing import and output of goods from back and forth from China to the United States, to the Asian market. I'm not going to say just China, but the Asian market, period.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, definitely there's a negotiation that needs to be done with China and the States. I could agree with them on that point because we are the thriving market, you know, and we're the nation, I mean, the country, the world's leader in trade. And and so we definitely buy, I say we import a lot of products and to the States, and therefore to do business with America, I feel like we do need to be a little bit more cocky with our market. You know, we do have people that have money and willing to spend the money for a product, but then you have to, what are we benefiting from continually buying exports? I mean, how is it benefiting America? Is it to make the average man more money to resell it, or is it to actually better America in general? And I think,
okay, yeah, I mean, cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, the biggest thing is, you know, one of the rules of business is basically the cheapest goods to sell at a higher price. You know what I'm saying? That's how you make profit in any business worldwide. So, but these companies, all their manufacturing sweatshops are 95% are overseas. You got a 5% that do American stuff, keep in America, but still, even some of their products and some of the stuff that they do use still come from overseas. So overseas has a very big part in this market. It may be talked about or, you know, publicized, but at the end of the day, when you boil it down, there's a lot of goods that we get that are part of our main pieces to get some of these products out there. Like, for example, the big giant, we'll say we use Nike, the big giant. Everybody know, everybody like Nike. They're a big shoe company out there. We know their shops and all their manufacturers and shoes get put down in the Asian market. They have outlet factories in the United States, and they have their factories where their shoes come imported in from the Asian market to sell back out to the American market. So if a trade falls down and the Asian market pulls out, it goes Nike right then and there. Because there's no sweatshops to build Nikes in the United States. There's not one product that Nike even owns that's made in the United States, period, at all. You know? So, and I'm using that as just as one of the giants. There's probably many more I can go on to. There's a list full that have to have the Asian market as part of this driving business and successful, because there's nowhere else where you'll be able to get the labor is low, the rate is cheap for the products. That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? They have the manpower that we don't have the manpower in America. No more like that. Overseas has the biggest manpower than we have. I mean, because you boil it down, you look at it from this spectrum of the angle with Latino market and the African American market, working the lower end jobs. At one point, one group of people felt like they no longer need to work these anymore. You know, they have done that. They're just, they have, they have grown to the next level and say, hey, we're worth more than that, which it doesn't mean about worth. It's just everybody has their working roles. But in America roles, there are certain things we're not willing to do. With other countries are willing to say, hey, we will do that. You know what I'm saying? For the money you pay us is great in our market, but in America, that's, nobody can live off with the rates that they're paying the other market, you know, because the cost of living is totally different and it's so so opposite of each other. It, you know, the impact of a business sense, it just makes more sense because it wouldn't make any business here. You wouldn't make a profit with, you took the same rate and you brought it into America. You wouldn't even make a profit selling your product at all. You know?
Yeah, and I agree. Sometimes, I mean, if you could buy the product cheaper in a foreign country, I think at least we need to we at least need to put a heavy tax on that to the receiver in the United States. Because if you want to go outside the United States to get that cheaper product, we need to start taxing accordingly so that at least somebody have to pay for that product to come across, you know, and it's not going to be the citizens of the United States. It's going to more be the purchaser of the products got to pay that import tax on it, and that's on every item that comes from out of state, because it's not doing anything for the state besides making money off the people that's within the states, you know, so like the middle class or the lower class. You know, but I think it's definitely important that we cross those dots and T's on that trade deficit.
Okay. I mean, that's you know, saying like very good viewpoints. I'll say, you know, we don't have too much on it because we could be on this segment for like hours and millennia, but we don't have that much time on the show today. But it was good, you know, good segue piece of food to chew on. And you know, and our listeners out there, you know, you can always leave a message, comment, and give us your opinion on your feel, you know what I'm saying, and we'll be able to address it and do another conversation with that, talk about the trade market and the cause and effect of society now, with the new generation coming up with so much social media involvement now, you know, how's that affecting, you know what I'm saying? So because you got now most Americans do business by, we're now considered what, a third-party vendors, you know? So, but I ain't gonna do anything too much now. I'm gonna digress off of that because that's a whole different show, right? Would you think about that? You know, yeah. How much we play as, we, you know, instead of us being leading front, now we're vendors, you know? And people have been very successful being vendors, third-party vendors, you know? So I'm gonna go ahead and switch the lane up a little bit. And let's talk about a little bit about sports, you know? Do you watch any sports or you into any sports at this time?
Well, you know, I like watching football, basketball as well, you know, any sport, you know. Well, I won't say I'm a fan of specific teams. I like leadership and I like teamwork because that's what makes the world go around, you know, us working together. So any of those teams that make it to the top, man, I really do admire those teams because it takes takes teamwork and takes courage and heart. It takes heart to become one unit and win it all. So yeah, I'm definitely a football fan. I think the team that have everything going for them right now in football, in NFL at least, I would give it to Baltimore. I'll get to Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah. For I'm a Saints fan, but I know we're gonna make it to the Super Bowl. But we see Baltimore, we're not gonna come away with that W. It's gonna be a great game, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, I ain't trying to be biased. I am for my team, but facts are facts, and they have one of the dominant offenses in the league at this time. I mean, they can score at will from any position. They have a pretty solid defense, and it was greatest, but since they have such a fantastic offense, is when that defense come on the field, the defense is always well rested, ready to go. So it's, that makes them already almost like elite defense, because you're not out there getting drugged for like half of the game, and yet offense trying to score for 5 minutes. They can score at will. They have a decent backup in RG3. So I'm just sitting and watched the game the other day in Baltimore. It's just, I mean, it's too many weapons out there. And then for your Patriot fans, I'm not a big Patriot fan, but I'm just saying, two times getting caught filming other people's practice, I'm just saying, a goat is a goat, chicken is a chicken, cheater is a cheater. That's all I got to say about that, you know, because I still don't understand. You get in trouble for filming years back, and then you do the same thing about a team that you're going to play. Even if the team is not a dominant team, you're still filming these teams and getting, you know what I'm saying, cheating at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I mean, it is suspect why they always winning. And
yeah,
they're always catching them on some, you know, on some cheating. See the things that they do, and if it's against the rule, I mean, and you're doing it, believe me, it's cheating. No matter how you try to put it, and that takes a lot of credibility away from the Patriots, because they are a really good team. But obviously, it seems like they have to do a little bit extra to get those W's. So. I mean, I don't know how many times they cheated, but at least once a cheat, always a cheat. That's how
I look at it. I mean, two times are the same thing. It's like the third time the Patriots in their decade of running, the Brady decade, because this is all happening when Brady was out there and Belichick, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say them two, if they're errant, so we'll go ahead and put a timeline on it. They have three NFL violations. Three. More than any other team. You know what I'm saying? You have had from deflated footballs to two times recording opposite, you know, your opponent's practices. I mean, that's like three times. That's like in a 10-year decade. I mean, man. I mean, it's been longer than 10 years, but to say just 10-year decade, that is just, but it's all within 10 years, though. You know what I'm saying? That is just like, come on now. I ain't the smartest man in the world, but I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know the betting side bets are like probably in your favor if you have the cheat sheet, you know?
Think about it. I mean, they was in the press box recording the Bengals sign, like the signs, and it's like, why you so used to getting away with it that you'll put your scouts in the press box to film the people sign? Why not put them in the last row in the stadium and do the same thing? You know, why are you so confident to do something of that magnitude right in front of the security and the Bengals entourage? You know, so it just if you get away with it for so long, it becomes a norm. And I think it's good. I'm glad that it got caught, because it shed light on just their strategy. And, you know, I don't respect teams that have to go out and cheat a team. I respect the best team wins, but not to have an upper edge on them because of technology. And I mean, if you don't get caught, it's not cheating, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, facts. But let's go ahead and go over some Let's go ahead and look at the daily news real quick and see what things are chiming this morning, okay?
Okay.
I got right now, I got like about four. I'm just going to read like the titles of it. We can talk a little bit about it. The House of Judges Committee published full impeachment report heading into the historic week. So I guess this impeachment is basically went through all the challenges and voted. So I guess in the next few, in a week or so, I guess it's going to be players being served. You know what I'm saying? How you look, not too much in it, but how much do you feel about this impeachment situation going on?
Well, as many, I'm a true fan of the black and white. I mean, mm-hmm. Try to be a law-abiding citizen as much as possible. And I know it's tough, but as long as you follow the black and white, I feel like you're okay. Now, once you go outside the lines, then you call it how you see it, you know. So, yeah. But the black and white is very important, and and it don't discriminate, you know. It shouldn't discriminate, but it does.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you broke the law, you know, you at least got to do the time, or go through due process. So with the impeachment inquiry, I feel like it's definitely warranted. He definitely went outside lines of the founding fathers of the Constitution. And I think those measures should be set in place for somebody that step outside those guidelines to be at least penalized for their actions. I mean, because we have so many people in jail did the same thing. It's different, but it's the same thing. They went outside the black and white, and they paying the price with their life, doing years behind bars. So what made this president anything different when he's supposed to be a role model? He's supposed to be a leader of the free people and be an example for the world. What kind of message are we sending, saying it's okay, since you're the president, you have this money to do things the way you want to and not follow the Constitution? And so I think we really need to just put the hammer down and just show them, like, look, this is what we gotta follow, not who you are and what party you are, but this is the rules that we all abide by. And so if we follow that, then I think he should be impeached, and then he should be doing some time in jail, you know, just because, I mean, it's the due process, you know. We gotta follow rules, you know. And if we gotta follow them, what makes you anything different, you know? So that's my take on that.
Okay, and that's good. And then we have another couple of stories I want to go ahead and reach out some interesting articles a little bit about. They did a report, the NPR reports, few students are going to college, and here's why. And here's why that matters. Okay, so you have fewer students going to college now, which we knew this was coming. With the new millennium of people now, they're getting successful at a very young age now, right? So you think about it, tuition's going higher, and at the end of the day, your degree ain't guaranteed for success anymore, how it used to be almost 20 years ago, okay? So with that said, college is starting to hurt now. It's starting to feel a little pinch, because the average person not going to college because they was like, what's the purpose of wasting my time? Because I get a degree, my catch 22 is I don't have no work experience. If I don't know nobody, I'm not getting in the door. Because when you graduate college, it's who you know that's landing these jobs. It's not your experience, because you have none, you know. So that's a real big of the matter. So what's your take on that?
Well, it's definitely it's true. I mean, a college is important to a certain extent. I mean, if you are making money, usually coming out of college, you're going to make a little bit over minimum wage at an intern level. You know, you're not going to make that whopping salary like your predecessors. You probably, with nothing on your resume, you pretty much amateur in the game, and they're going to treat you like that, and it's cheap labor. So being an entrepreneur, you set your own cap of income as well. I mean, we have technology these days that you pretty much could put a Google search anything you want to be, and you just stick to those measures, and you can find out like different like little classes you could take, and you could save a lot of money if you know what your passion is. But a lot of people don't know what their passion is, so they do go to school to try out different things, learn about different subjects, and see what enlightens them. But if you're trying to work for someone, that will always hold you back from getting that promotion. Now, with the current administration we have in office, they really are not giving us, I mean, they really not setting a good example. For example, they have Rudy Giuliani, his communications or his assistant never went to college. She's 20 years old, and she's in the White House. Never went to college at all. You know, all she have is some Instagram followers. You know, so it's like, is that all you need these days? Some followers to be important?
Hey man, that social media has an impact that's changing the whole life of the world. But let me go ahead and read some information on that. Okay, it says, at this year, isn't the first time this has happened. Over the last 8 years, college enrollment nationwide has fallen about 11%. Every sector, public, state, school, community college, for nonprofit to private, liberal arts schools, have felt the decline, though it has been especially painful for small private colleges, okay? Where in some cases, some institutions have been forced to close. So that 11% is a big number. Even if it sounds like it's a double digit, but double digit percentage of any fall is a great impact in business and money. And college is about money. We all know this. So we're going to keep in the line of business portion of it all. And that's a bad hit for any company to have 11% downfall. Okay. And just like I said, since you just mentioned about Giovanni, Rudy Giovanni.
Giuliani.
Just what he just did. Giuliani, yeah. So, Newsweek reports Rudy Giuliani shares his Ukraine findings in a series of tweets. So his assistants that never went to college, that is very successful media, is showing him how to work it for his game, because now he's releasing what he found on Twitter. That's kind of ironic, right? I'm just, like I said, who you know, sorry, college, unless college can find a new way to keep you, to show your how they can employ you after you pay all that money for their degrees that they give you. You know what I'm saying? Good luck. You know. But I got one more read, and then we're going to go ahead. We can probably wrap this up for this morning segment. Fox News. Iowa man sentenced harassing postcards for years. He gets sentenced for 51 months prison term. You know, that's what they report. So they had the 76-year-old man from Boise man was sentenced for 51 months in federal prison for what Iowa prosecutors label as a crisis of harassment related to a barrage of postcards sent to a homeowner over a minor confrontation in a post office parking lot, the report says. That's crazy.
Well, that is crazy. And I mean, like I said, it all boiled down to, you know, law abiding. I mean, if you break those rules, be ready to pay the price, you know. It is what it is, you know. 51 postcards, that is harassment, and you gotta respect it. But I mean, 51 months is long, but I don't know how many postcards he sent.
He had to go hard in the paint. Plus, he's 71 years old, so he already knows he has no filter in what he says, and he says anything he's entitled to say. So he went above and beyond on the postcards. He probably sent the ones that you make a movie about. You know, the one postcard talk about, you know, I'm going to do A, B, C, and D, and it's horrible. But he probably sent, like, he probably bought a box for like a dollar. You know, you could go to like a dollar store and buying a box of $25.50. He probably wrote out all 15 symptoms at one time.
Yeah.
You're saying 6 and 6 year old, you're not working. You have nothing but time on your hand. Yeah, I'm gonna assume that, you know, he did that.
Yeah. So what my question is to you, what you think about the rumor of if Trump do not get a second term, there's going to be another civil war. What's your input on that?
Well, I don't think there'll be a civil war, but I think the balance of power will be shattered. I don't believe that you would, it won't be as you wouldn't have a dominant party. And I think this would do like a, almost like a vacuum effect and actually make everybody split into individual parties and almost like restructure everything. You know what I'm saying? Because at one time, because you're going to get to a point as human beings and people to be like, they're not doing what I'm asking. They don't do what I'm asking. I'm going to make my own thing and put up and move forward with my own thing now. You know what I'm saying? because it's as you can see, it's falling apart. It's not, none of them can hold rain, none of them can hold water. They got so many holes in buckets. Democrats and Republicans on both sides, you got none of a choice, but then people can start just doing individual things, which you have the right to do so, but a lot, it's not publicized or put out there in the media that you can do this. So you can start seeing it, because people gonna start figuring out where else can I go, because you want people still coming to vote, you want people still going to change, but people are going to be like, how am I going to do this now? I don't believe in what they offer. I don't believe what they offer, what I need to do. I was like, well, you can make your own cabinet now and move forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's going to dissolve both parties, because people are going to pull out and do them, and you, now you're going to have a set up role of people who can do all kinds of stuff. So I think that's what's going to end up happening. And in my eyes, I think that's going to happen. And it could happen, but it may not, but it really can. And I think it just moves some chances to be higher that people start breaking up and then come to own cabinets.
That's what's up. Now, if you was president, what three things you would change? First three things you'll change when you take office.
I never thought of it that way. I would change, I would try to change how Congress is organized and structured. Basically, the policies and bills process, I would change that, because there's a lot of things that is so old and rhetoric now. It's like obsolete, but nobody's willing to change the obsolete path that nobody uses anymore. You know, so I would. That's when I would change the process of bills and how they ran through what cabinets and whatnot. So I would basically restructure all that. The number two thing I would probably change is restructure the funding for family assistance and the welfare program. I would change that. Like, I would bring a whole new one to like, you know what I'm saying, and do it worse. It's just worthy for everybody, not just for one set of entity to get the back end more than the front end. And the third thing I would change is some of our border policies. I would change that too. So those are three things I would change. You know, infrastructure from the out structure.
Okay, that's what's up. My three things that I would change would be, first, I have to give reparations to African Americans, only because of the fact that there's so many crimes and scandals during that era that America could never be. America could never be like a honest country until they acknowledge the dirt that they did to immigrants, you know, to immigrants, because we were immigrants coming into a foreign country, you know. So I believe that first we got to take care of the past, you know, no matter how much it hurts, you know. But first, we got enough land, I mean, to fulfill that promise of Abraham Lincoln before he was shot. It was 40 acres and a mule. We still have land to do that. And that's free land. That's federal land that's sitting out there. We still have land to do that based off the numbers. So, and we don't even have to do 40 acres. Could we just get 1 acre? You know, could we get something to say to get that promise that was promised to our ancestors? And although it's not our fault that it will cost a lot because you waited so long. That's what happens when a bill goes into collections. It builds up, right? And so you end up having to pay the collection fee and the normal fee on top of that. So I feel like that's the first thing I will probably acknowledge as president. Second thing, I'll probably acknowledge like the major things, the major topics in the U.S. guns, abortion, education, and I know that every state have something special that they do that another state don't. I start separating states, and I will give a state completely no abortions. You know, if you don't want to, if you believe in no abortions, go stay in this state, because that everybody in that state know there's no abortions. You stay in that state. Now even for like free speech or being hatred speech, you want to be a racist, we're gonna give you a racist state. Everybody, you're gonna have people don't like white people, you got people don't like black people, you got people don't like Indian. You could be racist in a one state, this state. More likely, that's your state. You can be nasty as you want to be. More likely, that probably is the least people that go to that state, because a lot of people are fair weather bigots. You know, a lot of people don't like to be seen as that person, but they are that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they hide behind like a computer and express their feelings. But I mean, you can have the whole state. You can be whoever you want. Go to that state and be racist all you want. That's your racist state. But inside, anything outside of that state, it's nothing like that.
Gotcha.
So just divide it up. You know, the states you know, so you can smoke marijuana at. You know, there'd be states you could gamble at. It just every state have its unique. It's unique, I guess. Vice. Whatever it should be, you know. Yeah. So, my third would be, I would say free education. I mean, because that's very important. Why we got to charge someone to build this country?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from jump, you know, why it should be free? Information, knowledge should be free. It's on the person to listen or to captivate that information. You know, all I could do is just tell you. Now, I can't tell you over and over again. I'm gonna give you chances, but eventually you ain't gonna get it. Yeah. You know, because it's like a three strike. Give a three strikes law in college. You can sign up three times for free. After that, we'll charge you. You know, because you're wasting people's time. But free college, free education, definitely. I mean, it's only going to make America better. You want to make America great, why don't you get free college, you know? So the felons could go to school, and the single parents, you know, they could find a way to get in school. You know, it's that momentum that we need to have for the country, not people coming out of college, they in debt, they got to go through all this interest or hardship programs. I mean, it shouldn't be like that. They should be ready to hit the ground running without worrying about bills and you know, bills bigger than even a car payment or close to a house payment, you know. And it's just for education, you know. And so
okay, well, you know what, on this note, we'll go ahead and pull this day. Once again, go ahead, Courtney, go ahead and let everybody know where they can find your research, get, you know, quotes, whatever they need for your business. Go ahead and plug yourself in one more time.
It's CourtDMS.com. It's Court Digital Marketing Swag. You can find me online. Instagram is CourtDMS. Facebook, CourtDMS. You can just put in Google. It should be the first thing populates. And I really do appreciate you guys taking your time to listen to the podcast. Appreciate DJ Fat Potato and Cheese and Broccoli Entertainment. Anything you guys need to put yourself on a platform, on a digital platform, I want to be your number one fan. So please look me up and contact me, please.
Yeah. And then just for my viewers to know, I did hire his company. He's hired Harry Diddy, CheeseandBroccoli.com. So once again, you go to CheeseandBroccoli.com and check out our website that his company has provided for us. And you can see some of the visual and the work that they put into it. And I say it's one of the very classiest email pages out there that their products produce. And I have got a lot of great feedback off of that website that we have up and going. So you know, also can leave information and chime there. So once again, I'd like to thank you for joining Cheese and Broccoli Morning Coffee. And we'll go ahead and we'll pick this off at another time and another date just for you guys. Like I said, you leave comments, stuff like that. And if you guys want Courtney to come back on again as another guest, go ahead and let me know that so I can go ahead and arrange that time and have him show up again for another time and be a guest on Cheese and Broccoli Morning Coffee. All right, y'all take care. Stay blessed. Peace.
Peace.
What's up? Good afternoon, good morning to my people. This is DJ Fat Potato. Thank you again for joining me for another Coffee in the Morning with DJ Fat Potato Show. I'd like to take the time to thank my sponsor, Cheese and Broccoli Entertainment, for giving me a nice platform to speak my mind, talk about what's going on and how I feel, and talk to my audience who are in the same boat as I am, stuck at home, doing great things, doing work, but thinking on how to change with our environment. That's the most craziest thing, is changing with the environment. So much going on, you're trying to think, how do I change? Especially for a DJ. I mean, man, you got everything from Twitch, Facebook, IG, Twitter, Periscope with Twitter. So you have all these platforms that we can DJ on. But the question is, how do we turn money with this? How do we make money? How do we keep our career going? You know, at the end of the day, people are still getting married. People are still going to have events, graduation, birthdays. So you have to think, what can I do? Or what's my limitations? And I'm here to tell you, as a DJ, there is no limitations. There's nothing holding us back but ourselves. And why I say that, think about it. Who says you can't do anything now? Who says as a DJ we cannot find a different form of entertainment? You know, social media can get you around the world real quick. There's a lot of platforms you can go ahead and DJ on without getting taken down. Or even it is getting taken down. You might as well rock hard enough until they take you down. Because meanwhile, people still get to see you. I think the key thing in this time, in this exposure, is consistency on your brand. On your DJing, or who you want to be, or who you want to change your avenue to. I mean, this is a great opportunity to work on the back end of your business. Or back end of the DJing. You know, a lot of times we don't look into that matter. But this is a great time for us to do that. You know. For myself, you know, I'm just speaking for myself also, you know, it's great time for me to take everything back in, learn from my experiences, practice on some new things. There's a lot of practice time now. I mean, man, if you wanted to be working on your social media game, you want to work on your podcast, your apps, whatever tools you're able to hone in to get better with, that's the best thing to do, right? Because, I mean, right now, this is the best time to learn new things. Learn, try, put it out there. I mean, there's no such thing as failure when it comes to your brand. That's one thing that we have to realize. There's no such thing as failure as being true to yourself and to your craft. You can't fail at trying nothing. When you try something, all you do, you will learn from trying what you have accomplished or what you have not quite, you know, you set a marker for yourself and you don't quite hit that marker. Then all that means is, you still were successful because you went out and did it. Now it's time to learn, home in, sharpen some more tools, look for different avenues of help and suggestions to be better into what you're trying to do, right? So what you waiting for? I mean, go out there and put it out there. I mean, you got a lot of DJs out there. They put it out there. They just practicing or they just mixing just for fun and just recording and putting it out there. Why not? Talk to the audience. Talk to people. See what people want to talk back to you, you know. You'd be shocked what people will do and speak to you. You know, nowadays, you know, everybody is you know, everybody likes a conversation. People are sitting by themselves and lonely. Why don't you just have a conversation and reach out? I mean, that's the best thing to do, right? I mean, it ain't hard to do. You just go on there, social media live, and start talking. People are going to talk back. Some people may not. You may start off with one or two followers, two or three followers. But consistency, the more you stay on there, the more you stay on top of it, more you film, you'll hit that rhythm, and that social media rhythm, you know, that will put you to the next level or will realize and flag you and then put you into, catapult you in better lanes that people can see you, you know. So when you do that, that is the biggest thing, is to stay consistency in our craft and keep working at it, you know. So that's my little, like, you know, my little spill today, you know, just to give you guys a hands on things, you know. So, and let's go ahead and let's talk, turn the corner a little bit. Let's talk about some things. Let's talk about the new products out there, man. Like, the biggest thing now is to go ahead and how to get the best media sound now going live. You got all kinds of stuff. You got these lot of converters that can convert the sound straight into your PC. So then it sounds clear, crisp while you're doing it live. Not, you know, the same programs instead of, you know, programs where you can record and then put it out there. If you want to do that and you don't feel like interacting or taking requests in, you can record yourself previously, run it, and then say live when, you know, it's pre-recorded like TV shows. You're able to do that. Or if you say, hey, I'm not really, you know, I don't have the money right now and you're still trying to make money come in, you may not go that route. And that's okay not to go that route. I mean, you can do what you can do with your pocket, right? So, you know, you want to make the company make money so you can invest back into yourself as a DJ and a professional, you know? So, you know, just to like kind of spin back onto it, it's just kind of fun just to realize and see other DJs, you get motivation and see that, hey, you know what? There's no limitation to what I can do, you know? So that's one thing I, you know, want to tell everybody and keep everybody encouraged, especially my DJs, DJs coming up. You, as you can see, people starting to DJ learn, and singers and actors, and people starting to post out the different talents that they have, you know. But for our DJs who've been mobile DJs and still working here, the question is, where do we go now, right? Where do we go? Where do we go? That's the thing. Where shows we pick up and what everybody does and what's the best thing to invest right now to help you stay ahead of the curve instead of be behind the curve? So that's the crazy thing. I mean, you may have a great controller right now. Do you need to upgrade in the controller at this time? I'm going to say no. Unless you have a controller that you're not able to record your sets and stuff, then yeah, I would get a controller that, or not necessarily get another controller, but I get something or programs that out there that are free that you can go ahead, upload, and for you can record your sets. So then, therefore, you're not putting out any money. Right now, you really don't have to spend money to be a successful DJ at this time. You really think about it. For my DJs coming up, DJs are already there. Think about all the equipment you already have. Maximize that, you know. Maximize it to the 10th power. A lot of us, we have a lot of stuff that we can turn around and internally use for ourselves. We have cameras. We have phones. We have multiple laptops that got different cameras. So now you got to download the program so you can do the fancy backgrounds and be legit, and that's all free, right? So we have that. If you're not part of a DJ network, man, you need to get in a DJ network. I don't care if you started DJing today, yesterday, last week, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Get in these DJ networks because everybody is passing on the information. That is the coolest thing about being a DJ, is everybody passing on this information about how to get on Periscope, how to get on Twitch, how to get on live, how to get on stuff, and how to stay ahead of the curve, and everybody's working together. And that's the crazy part. You know, there's so much music out there, so many different ways people listen and different mixes that people can put out, man. You'll never get the same mix slightly as the same. You may get a couple of the same songs, but you're not going to get the same mix. Everybody mixes different. Everybody has a different craft. That's what makes DJ so cool. You're never going to have a same DJ mimic. The reason why I say that, because you can have a DJ take your whole set and they're going to run it the way they see fit and the way you vision it. You have some DJ who talk you into a song, and then you have some DJs who play you into the next song. You know what I'm saying? And then you have some DJs who do both. So that's the good thing about it. It's creativity on your set, on what you want to mix, what you want to blend, which one you want to drop, what avenue you want to go to. And that's the crazy part, man. Once you do that, man, ain't nobody can tell you anything, you know, because there is no right way or wrong way to DJ, but there is proper way of DJing, in other words. So your creativity of DJing, there's no right or wrong way. The way you want to be creative on how you want to do your DJ set, it's all up to you, and nobody can tell you different because it's your creativity. Now, there are, you know, ways to make your creativity be smoothly with DJing. And I know some of my words ain't right. I'm trying my best. But some of my words I do not pronounce very well. I probably need to slow it down, pronounce words better. So work with me as I get better. I would say that, you know, make sure you're coming in on the right count. That's very important. make sure that when you do blend, it's on the right count and it sounds good. You know, it's good to be creative, but same time, some songs you just don't mix. They don't blend very well. They just don't. It just the notes, the rhythm, it just doesn't work, right? So sometimes you can never blend it in. But doesn't mean how do you can scratch it up on your transactions. You know, you may have the world's greatest scratcher, but if you know how to beat smash very good, you can become a very good transaction with you going to another track from one to another. So you can work on those. And those are good things to do, you know. Everybody always want to see how this, and you see different DJs, and you see like, oh, man, that's a cool song. Oh, I never thought about that. Oh, that's cool. And then for me, I'm going to work on, and I'm going to show you later on my YouTube channel, on my journey on how to make battle mix. You know, basically, DJs already have pre-recorded their sets, you know, sample-wise, and they can key beast it up and stuff like that, which they don't ever show you that, but I'm going to find out how to do it and show you guys what I've learned and how to make that happen, you know. I'm also going to show you guys how to work on my drops and how to make a drop. You know, there's a lot of YouTubes on there on different ways you can their programs to make drops and stuff like that. But I'm going to show you my way of I learned how to make drops. Like, I don't have the world's greatest drops at this time because I'm working on it, but they're going to be better and it'd be great, you know. Or you can just pay people. Right now, hey, I ain't rich like that. So I'm only going to do what I do. I'm going to use my talent and use the education out there to better home on to my back-end craft of DJing, you know, marketing-wise, drops, and situation may be. So you can stay tuned for that. You know, once again, you know, I'm going to plug in all my media outlets so you can follow me on social media. So right now, perfect segment. You're middle in. You're joining me this far. You're still listening. So right now, I'm going to say it off rip. Please go follow me on IG at DJ Lower Score, PHAT, Lower Score, POTATO. I also have DJ Fabitator fan page on IG. You can follow both of those pages. You can follow me on Twitter as just DJ Fabitator, PHAT. You know, you can find me on Facebook, DJ Fabitator. You can follow me right there. So you can follow me on these platforms. I'm the only one in the world, DJ Fabitator, PHAT, POTATO, and have fun with DJing. Okay, so go ahead. I would appreciate you following me on that. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of content that I've been sitting here working on, and this is, you know, a morning time show. So just to get you up every morning with that confidence to make something do today, work on a photo of yourself and just work on something. Hey, you finish working on a mix, go ahead and finish it up. Work something a day will make you very consistent in your game. You don't have to do big projects if you don't have time, but the small projects will add up and count, okay? You know, researching on equipment, researching on what DJ gear will get for you, you know, research on what you think or advice or research on pricing, you know, because pricing is going to change now. Oh, the pricing game, there ain't nobody talking about that, but this is going to be the big change now, all right? Because think about it, so much going on. So much where people be like, I don't need to, you know, DJs are very important. Don't ever think we're not very important. We're very important. We still bring in the house. We still have events to go do, which I think right now for us, we can DJ anything right now because half the time we're not never in the crowd. We're always up and away from people and we can get in and get out, you know, since it's six feet deep, you know, 6 feet of distancing between among each other. It makes it even better for DJs. Now you don't have to worry about people crowding your DJ booth or crowding your set to get requests in and situations may be. So you be like, hey, I'd be smart, you know. Start announcing to follow you on IG. Start announcing and saying, hey, follow me, blah, blah, blah. And say it 4 or 5 times before you spin the tracks. Me say, hey, you want a song to be played, you need to follow me now and drop a tag and put a picture out there and drop a tag and let everybody start tagging on your page on what tracks they want to hear, right? Perfect way for you to get your requests. Perfect way to do it on your time, and they feel comfortable and feel welcome, and at the same time, you still have that 6 feet distances, and now you're having a great function going on right now, right? I'm just saying. These are different tools. You can use them if you don't want to. That's fine. You don't have to. But these are different things that work. And these are things that can work with the new social distance going on and events we're going to be at. So, you know, with that said, man, it's just, it's crazy, you know. But it is a field that you can still get in and have fun. Because if it wasn't, people wouldn't be doing it. People wouldn't be jumping in. You got actors and singers and professionals and other career for DJing now. They bring up the norm. So that telling you that we're on the right page as a DJ, you know? So just keep on rocking. Keep doing what you're doing, you know? So what I want to do real quick is, like I said, it's still a morning show. I ain't going to take too much of you guys' time. I appreciate you guys tuning in and joining me this evening. Let's see. Let's go on some world news real quick. Let's see if we can find some world news real quick, like, which I know we probably do. So let's see what we have out there today. You mean sports is about to join up next month. That's a good thing. Even we can't go in and see it, but we'll be able to still watch it on TV. That's better than nothing. But I just telling you now, man, the minute they open up them gates to let people in, you know they're going to be taxing us. They're going to tax the dog mess out of us on these ticket sales. They're going to, because people are going to be, the demand going to be so high to go and see a game in person. And it's gonna be crazy. They're not gonna give any free tickets away. There's not gonna be no chip tickets. I mean, even the nosebleeds, they're gonna be able to get prices they have never got before for nosebleed seats, where you sit up in arenas and you have to watch the sporting event from the big old projector in the middle, or the big old TV in the middle of the event. You know what I'm saying? Like concerts and everything else. That big old projector hanging in the middle of most basketball courts and the football, and some football fields, you know what I'm saying? Because people are going to be so ready to go see their favorite athlete in person again. You've been watching them on social media the whole time. They just built up the participation to see you live in person. And that's going to be the unique thing about this game. You know, same thing as DJs. All these DJs are putting out there, and you're putting yourself out there, and you're making sure that people see you every day. People are always in your corner. People are always doing that, man. The anticipation of seeing you live is going to be great. And people can come out to your shows. People can come out to your venues. People can come out to see you, because, man, I've been watching you for 2 months, a month and a half, every day talking and out there showing you your skills and whole nine, man. I had to come see you in person. Now, as a DJ, we can use this as a tool to book us into different venues or throw events outside of venues. You know, giving away a lot of game for free. But hey, man, everybody, there's enough money out here for all of us to make. So it's not going to hurt me if I'm telling you about it. It's all for you to jump on and capitalize it. You know, another big thing, man, think about it. Venues are not open up right now. And social distance, say, you know, the number of people can show up here and there. Man, house parties are blowing up. If you don't know, man, it's taking it back to how it used to be, man. DJs used to get their names from the craziest house parties they're throwing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these people are losing these Airbnbs. People are losing all these homes. But it's a great opportunity if your business savvy is to reach out to some of these homeowners who are behind on rent and Airbnbs, whatever. At one time, they was like, no, we're not doing house parties. But now you're like, hey, I need to rent it for event 23 people. They'll probably be like, okay, I'm willing to do this. Because now people are really going to house parties and not act up. Think about it. They're not going to act up. They've been cooped in the house so long, they ain't about that life no more. They're so easy to get out and just mingle with those and laugh and have fun and live life. So people ain't going to be tripping it that hard. House parties are banging right now. So if you're in a city and you don't got a house party going on or reaching out right now, hey, you know, you can wait till it comes up, but I'm just saying, and that's just my personal opinion. You know, house parties is going to be the thing, and a lot of people are really about that right now, so I'm just putting it out there for you guys. You know, that's something you guys can look on to and, man, be able to do some things. What else there's probably there? Man, there's so much going on as a DJ that it's just, like I said, sky's the limit. Really, sky's the limit. You know, don't limit yourself. Don't ever hinder yourself. Don't think you're never good enough. That's one thing is me. Confession for me as a DJ was always think, man, I wasn't good enough. But you are. You believe in yourself. People believe with you. You know what I'm saying? You find you DJ, and what happens is you'll fall into your own lane of DJing. You'll find your own skills and just keep going out there. I mean, if you feel nervous, that means you're doing the right thing. Yeah, for athletes and everything, man. Every time I feel like the new, you get that new high. Every time you do it, you get a new high every time. Man, I'm telling you, that's the thing to do. Is to go ahead and do it, man. You never horrible DJ. You can be a good DJ. There's some DJs that their skills ain't quite caught up to the hype that they put out there, but they're still out there doing it. You can't get mad for somebody doing it. That's like a comedian, a professional boxer, whatever. Yeah, they may have won one fight and lost 30, but they have the guts to go do that. That makes them elite. They go out there and they charge, man, undercut you and charge you lower than you, and they really didn't mix very well. Song's black, but you know what they did? They went out there and did it. That makes them elite, you know? So that is some crazy stuff right there, you know? So just saying that, man, it just puts you in a whole bunch of things, you know? So, you know, you have these different stories, man. So let's just go ahead and see what's making today's news. Let's go with quick trend. It's a quick trend right now, okay? You have the Central Park confrontation. You have the FBI investigation, a deadly arrest. You got 20 hikers rescued. You have a widow slam Trump's tweet. You have Jim Cobb dies. Rest in peace to his family and whole nine. Pierce on LeBron feud, you know, in sports. the manhunt after Connecticut killings, you know. You have picky eating suddenly, you know what I'm saying? Now you have the Mark vaccine drug deals. Man, you have a lot of stuff. Then this is just like trending information right now. Let me see if I get a little more information on some of these trends for you guys. Like the morning with Carver DJ Fat Potato, we're talking about it here, okay? You still have the social media trying to put a big old diversity among nationalities. So you had that. So a little bit more about it. The FBI is investigating death of black man seen heading down by police video. Yes, being held down by police video. So you've seen that. It's on Twitter, it's on IG now. It's been floating around today of a young black man getting put to the ground and ended up passing away. Not being too aggressive from the video I've seen, but I want to ask my listeners a question. And it's all about, when as a society are we going to step in and stop the wrong from wrong? Just think about that. You know, there's no answer. There's no right or answer, but I want you to think about this. Or pass it on to your friends and have a conversation with your friends and stuff like that. Everybody showing videos are telling these officers who, once again, they're good officers and bad officers. So let me clear this up. They are also a private entity. Police departments are private entities, are privately hired by the state. Keyword. Hired by the state. Police officers are not federal at all. So in case people didn't know, just a little education right there. Police officers are hired to obey the law. Now, do police officers go too far with some of the aggressive tactics? Yes, they do. But as a civilian, and you're not a police officer, you know you have the right to stand up against it sometimes. We're seeing people die and people are filming it. And I'm trying to ask myself, like, I have never seen this. So I can't speak 100%, but I'm to the point now that I would have to step in. If officers going too aggressive and the guy is applying to your callings, doing your stuff, the police officer was going to say, oh, my life was in threatened. I said, your life can't be in threatened. Someone's dying. There's a difference there. If the guy was tussling, rustling, and they was fighting, going for the gusto, then hey, it is what it is. So the greatest man wins, but still nobody should die. You're not, the cops are not the executioners. They're on the spot. Why do we not step in and help our fellow men or women who are being abused to a point where it's almost causing death for something just because they felt that they're resisting. There's a difference between resisting and getting mauled to the ground and choked out. You know, that is the difference. But we sit there and watch film, and we're watching these, and we watch these films, but does it ever dawn onto us that now it's the normal? And that's the sad part. It's normalcy for us to walk up and see somebody and cops abusing their power, using too much force. And we don't step in and stop it. All you're going to get, the only charge you will ever get is assaulting an officer and interfering with police matter if they push it. But if you're quiet enough, you don't speak, and you save a person's life, let the lawyer do all the things for you. You may have a better outturn. You may not be as think as prisonized you are. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we have to let these officers know that, hey, you're hired to force the law to a certain extent. You're not here to force the law to be the executioner on certain matters. The man, you're causing more harm on this body person, and you're saying, and a lot of times, a lot of these cops, you're not realizing the mentality of the mind frame. This is just a drilling rush, a drilling pump that they're going over, and they get tunnel vision, and they're all straight focused on training of he existed arrest. It's 10. It's 0 to 10, you know? And we have to realize that, hey, this person, the officer may need to be pushed down. And you walked away, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? And then the officer can have a chance to gas himself and recover himself and realize, oh, okay, oh, hey, I need backup, but I was about to kill this man. You intervened, but I didn't kill this man. Arrested. The guy lives on whole nine, but you saved a life at the end of the day. And you got a misdemeanor charge with it. It ain't a felony because you didn't come out thing. And another comes, you just say whatever, click button, and speak to your lawyer and let him know, like, hey, the guy was dying. All I did was, as a human being, I wanted another being to live through this for them they can go to trial, to go to court, to go to the justice system, right? And use it for what it's needed to be used, right? I'm going by obeying of these laws that are given to us. So that is just my take on it now. You know, we've been watching it for years, so I digress a little bit, but that's my take on it, you know? And it may be different by other people, and I'm not saying nothing right or wrong. It's just my opinion on it at this time. But I'm going to digress and kind of fall back off of that, right? So just something, like I said, just something to think about, something to talk about. It's great to talk about things that we see. Let's not look at the norm and think outside the box and really understand what's going on with some of this stuff, you know. There's another thing. You still have these like, and they said this is always in the media. They always want to show the racial going against each other. And I want to speak about that about DJs too, right? There is stereotypes in DJing. Now, I'm not going to say racism. I'm going to say stereotypes, because that's really it is. It's not racism. It's just stereotypes. So what the stereotype is, you, by your skin and nationality, certain DJs won't get a bit for the doubt in certain venues, because they're going to think otherwise until you show them that music has no color and you understand how to play for the crowd that you are asking to entertain for. So that's one thing the DJs have to always identify with, is understand the crowd you're working with, right? So certain venues, certain events, you know, it's like, man, you know, they're stereotypes, you know. Okay, for example, I'm going to show you the stereotype of the mic. To be, which is not really true, but this is a stereotype. Like I said before, the word stereotype, because this is what leads on. To the average person who doesn't understand or has not been a DJ for a while, is not understanding this, like EDM. You look at the top EDM DJs, you know, they're going to assume that for you to be a great EDM DJ or to do EDM, then you have to be from overseas to be a great EDM DJ. For be a great hip-hop DJ, if you're not from a certain catalog or a certain breed or a certain part of the state, they don't consider you as a hip-hop DJ, right? And remind you, as being a DJ, there's no line. Don't ever box yourself in it. There's no line. Now, there's genres that you can become good at. but there's no line, there's no box. So don't fall into this trap that they try to put on you, okay? For example, I'm going to give you an experience from me. You know, going to strip clubs. Every strip clubs are different now, right? So I DJ at a strip club, you know. And it's funny because at certain strip clubs I went to and I came in person, due to they seeing me, they already assume that I would be playing a certain style of music in their venue. Not knowing that I played vast different venue events in different places. You know, I played in hip-hop clubs. I played in bars. I played for the United States military, which everybody knows the military is very diverse. But I've done different events by diversity. Multiple, I love music. So I have a nice catalog in my mind of songs, artists, individuals, and I'm willing to dip and dabble into different genres to see how good I can be in that genre. You know what I'm saying? So I'm familiar with it. So with that says, I have a pretty diverse background. But I got to get past the stereotype of, oh, you're only going to play the most ratchetest stuff known to man. And it's like, no. What do you I play the top 40 collective. I can do this. Just give me the opportunity. And they don't want to give you the opportunity because, like I said, they're stereotyping. They're assuming that you're going to play the most ratchetest shit ever. And I'm like, every strip club is different. You have your ratchet strip clubs, and then you have your high class professional strip clubs. And the high class professional strip club, they want a little bit, but they want it more dialed down, but a little bit more diverse playing. You know what I'm saying? So they want more of the pop songs, and they don't think you know about pop. They don't think you know about that. And what you got to do is pass past that barrier. And I always say, and someone passed on me, some passed on you guys. I always keep a diversity mix on my SoundCloud. So you go on my SoundCloud, you're like, man, you're not gonna find the typical mixes on my SoundCloud because that's what I use to sell to show them that I'm diverse. Like, this is this mix here, this is this mix right here, or this is this mix right here. Oh, this is mix right here. Oh, okay. So then it breaks you past the stereotype, saying, okay, you're a DJ who's willing to entertain the crowd, whatever the crowd wants to hear, because I'm here to entertain you. You're paying me to play the songs that you like to hear as a DJ. So with that said, that's the crazy part. But the reason why I'm bringing it up, because I don't want you guys to realize or get stuck in this box when there's no box exists. So don't fall for that trap. You can play anywhere. If there's some places you got to convince others that you are able to, and that's fine. And don't take it personal, because like I said, it's not racism, it's more of a stereotype. You know, some people are like, what's the difference between racism? One thing is, since you are a nationality, no nationality can ever DJ here. And see, that's the difference. That's not true, because they've had different nationalities DJ there before. So that's not racism, it's just stereotype. And they're stereotyping you because they only feel, because they had that one person who gave a chance, and they really played into that barrier background. Like, okay, this is what you really want. I'm going to play with it. No. You know what I'm saying? And you get those. And they kind of make it hard for you to really come to the door sometimes. But don't let that stop you. That's the thing I'm trying to say. Don't let nothing stop you. Anything is possible. You keep going on to the next. They're lost. Because people will talk and pass on the word. And next you know, they'd be like, man, I love when you come play. Because you play everything. And since I've DJed at the spot I'm at now, I have got nothing but love every time I DJ. From customers to the dancers. You know what I'm saying? And for the stereotype, I don't fit that stereotype. So with that being said, I'm letting you know it's possible. And once you get in there and you love music, there's nobody can stop you because you understand the game and you know how to play. That's why I'm saying you'd be a great DJ, right? So with that said, with the social media pushing these barrier lines, making a strife among minorities and cultures and people, just be mindful of what you read and what you digest in your system. Because the DJ world is very fun. I met a lot of DJs from all over, man. And the funniest part is we all have the same stories. We have all this almost the same journeys. So they're able to help you, assist you, and we have this great conversation that always of talking with music, culture, and friendship. That is the most craziest thing about it, is the outside stereotype is so bad, but when you talk to each other, it's all about, man, I'm trying to get there, I'm trying to get here too, I'm trying to jump in with you, man. You'd be shocked on what everybody's trying and willing to help each other out and break the stereotype that's keeping a lot of us pinned down for no apparent reason because we want to believe in the hype. You know what I'm saying? And don't ever do that. Don't do it to yourself. So with that said, is I'm going to go ahead and continue on this show tomorrow, okay? Talking about something different. Talk about what else is going on in the world and some more DJ tips for you guys. I'll talk over some stuff. So give you a heads up while I'll be talking with you tomorrow. And I'm going to probably talk about my phase. You know, I got the phasers. If you don't got it, if you're a DJ and you're trying to figure out more information, I'm going to tell you about it. Personal hands-on experience about the phasers I got. You know what I'm saying? I finally got them down because, like I said, I have some old technique turntables. Not old techniques, but I got some technique turntables. And the needle game is kind of not like it used to be when I first came in. So we're going to talk about the phase and my feel about it and how I've been playing with them and everything else and the needle game. So, you know, stay tuned to me tomorrow. We'll talk about more and some more culture. Like, again, thank you for tuning in and joining my show. Like I said before, man, follow me on all my social media platforms, from IG, Instagram, Facebook. You can Google me, DJ Fat Potato, DJ Phatpotato. You'll find me on all social media platforms. And once again, thank you for joining my podcast, Morning Coffee with DJ Fat Potato. So, once again, thank you. You know, and I appreciate you guys, everything that you guys listen, all the support, my fans, and your Morning Coffee with DJ Fat Potato show. Once again, thank you for joining. I've switched up my name show 4 different times talking to you guys, but the original name of the show is this, Your Morning Coffee with DJ Fat Potato Show. Brought to you by Cheese and Brock in Your Tank. Stay blessed, stay rocking, and keep going.